Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, folks? It's this show. And we were just talking about how the fact that we don't have a name for it yet because I have a very bad issue with details. I'm a very big picture guy. Details kind of throw me. If I see a room full of stuff and I have to clean everything up, I'm usually good at taking the big things and putting them away. But eventually, at the end of it all, I have this really nice clean room. And then I just have this pile of little tiny annoying shits, like pieces of paper, scraps of paper.
This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are in a nutshell. You do your laundry, you put it away, and you just leave the socks in the bottom of the bin.
Yeah, the socks freak me out. That's the thing.
That's who
you are. Dude, it's so funny you say laundry because I have two kids, both of whom are like half the size of a normal human being, which means
right. All
of their clothing is like half the size of a normal human being's clothing, and everything's fucking multicolored. So there's like 1,000 tiny socks, 1,000 pairs of underwear that all have some vague cartoon character on them, and I'm so overwhelmed by trying to deal with all that shit that I usually, like you said, just leave a giant pile of socks and underwear around.
You leave the, the socks to the end. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but yeah. All right.
What's the word,
so
girl?
You said
you
wanted to open.
Yeah.
I'm good. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm good. I'm glorious. I'm hyped. I'm jacked up on ginger ale and just a Susan, a scoosh of Red Bull. So I'm good.
Okay. Perfect. That's perfect.
Yes.
Great. All right. Hopefully we'll hash it out in 30 minutes and then you can go to bed. Not gonna happen. That shit lasts for hours. But So you were telling me earlier that you had an incident with you towed somebody's car, or you called for a tow truck?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the actual power to take someone's car physically myself and tow it away, which would be the single most satisfying
this
thing.
Isn't
I could pretty much die. I could die happily.
You're not. You're
tow
not
truck.
A strong man. Is what you're saying. You wouldn't win the strong man competition. Okay.
No. Very
okay.
much not. And even if I had my own baby, like a little pickup truck with a hookup on the back that I could just like rip somebody's bumper off as I'm trying to remove it. But here's the thing on it. We've talked about this in the past. The whole thing about common courtesy, doing the right thing, common sense, and just paying attention and doing right by other human beings. We live on this planet. We have to get along with almost 6 billion people. we're eventually going to start bumping shoulders. So here's the thing. I'll make this fast. So I live on a street in Los Angeles that is the home to the Hare Krishna temple. And Hare Krishna is good people generally, but not known for focusing on the day-to-day, the details, the minutiae, the small children's socks, if you will, of day-to-day life.
Got it.
And they're good people, but they're egregious when it comes to driving and parking their car. And on a regular basis, people block my driveway with their cars and just walk away. And not only do they just walk away, but they'll actually look, and their car will literally be about halfway into, like, blocking my driveway, and they'll just look at it, and they'll go, oh, that's good, and they'll walk away. And when I go over to them and I go, hey, you're blocking my driveway, the answer is usually, oh, it's fine, you got enough room to get out, or, oh, I'm just going to be 5 minutes, or, hey, you know, that's not very neighborly of you. That's not very neighborly of you. You know, you have enough room, yada, yada, yada. And my response is, first of all, fuck head, you're not my neighbor, because if you were, you wouldn't do something stupid like this. Second of all,
and
asshole,
now,
it doesn't matter
okay,
if
I
have
can,
the space to get out.
I just have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. So are they parking in front of your driveway as they go to temple? Like, this is because you're right next to a temple? Because I find that to be ironic.
And that's a very interesting point that I was going to get to. They are,
in
most cases, they are Hare Krishna worshippers on their way into a place of worship where, ostensibly, I guess, part of what they talk about is, hey, you know, be nice to the people around you. Because I read this the other day, somebody posted something on Facebook the other day, and that was, no matter what religious text you are reading, whether it's the Quran, the Bible, the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Bhagavad Gita, whatever it is, somewhere in all of those things is something that says something along the lines of, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
And give or take, yeah. I'd agree with that.
Give or take. Give or take.
unless you're not a Muslim.
So,
kidding. Go on.
Exactly. so So ostensibly what will happen is one of two things. Either I'll say, hey, could you move your car? And they'll be like, okay, move it. Or they'll just be like, oh, I'll be back, and they walk away. Or I don't say anything. Because when people come out and they look and they see that their car's blocking my driveway and they go, oh, fuck it, I'm doing it anyway, that's when I cut them off. And what I'll do is I'll call parking violations. Generally speaking, I'll have them ticketed. But on a particularly egregious day, like yesterday slash today was, the guy left his car there for like a day and a half. And it got to the point today where I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm having this guy's car towed. And sure enough, I called him, and they
were you able to get out of your driveway?
Yes, I was able to get out. But the thing is, my street's fairly narrow, and there isn't a lot of like you don't have a lot of turning radius to turn in. Once you're like near my apartment, you got to kind of make a pretty sharp turn to get into the driveway to begin with.
Right. Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
And again, you know, it's not really the point whether I have room or not. It's that you're an asshole. Don't block my driveway. Have some common courtesy.
No, completely. I was just wondering
down the street.
If they were completely locking you in for a day and a half. I was like, how long did you wait for? So I was just asking.
No. I came and go freely. I came and went freely. So that was just my thing. Because we talked about common courtesy. And the guy eventually, as I knew he would, I knew somebody who I didn't know was a temple guy, is... I knew somebody who parked it. And today some guy knocks on my door, and I open the door, and he's got the Hare Krishna ensemble from the 2015 all the way back to probably whenever Hare Krishna started back in the 1800s.
Right, right.
He's wearing the outfit, the saffron robes in the hand in the bag, and he's like, hey, do you see a car? You see a car get towed? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I know why. So well, my car was there, and it was towed away. I was like, I don't know, dude, but looked like you were blocking the driveway, so. Somebody probably towed it away. I don't know. He's like, do you know the number to call? I'm like, I have no idea. I got to go. My son's in the other room. And I close the door on his face. So long story short, on it, fuck him. Fuck his car. And you know what?
You're
going to be a fucking, you're going to be an observant of, like an obvious observant of a religion. Don't be such a hypocritical asshole. Now, you wanted to talk about something today, and I apologize for cutting you short on that.
Can I add on to that, by the way?
Yes.
When told me that you had someone's car towed, I mean, I don't know you that well, but I feel like I know you well enough to be like, all right, this guy did something really douchey. Because you, I feel like it takes a lot to aggravate you to action like that. I feel like you aren't an angry person and you don't seek to make other people's lives inconvenient. So I was okay, I did something, super shitty to make Edelman this pissed off.
And I think you and I we're cut from the same cloth in that
I agree.
We're good people, we're laid back people, but if you push our buttons it doesn't even have to be a horrible way. It just has to be an uncaring, unthoughtful, disrespectful sort of way. You know, I mean, everybody has different buttons that push, you know, that trigger them. For me, it's that the guy parked halfway into my driveway, and I didn't see him leave, but I can imagine he kind of gave a look, and he was like, oh, that's fine, the guy can get out, and walked away. And that, to me, is a prosecutable offense. So fuck him. Let him go pay $300 for his, ticket. Before you go into your story, Anna, you have a very interesting background, like your educational background. Do tell. Explain it in as... in terms as possible, because I still have no idea what it is.
I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you. I have, we're talking about my educational background. I have a bachelor's degree in physical anthropology, which is a useless degree. Okay, that's one. And very soon I'll be finishing up a master's in evolutionary psychology, which I will be using as well. Useless degree.
You won't be, you're moving to Tampa to go into radio. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm moving to Tampa. That's actually kind of on the DL right now. I've been hesitant to make it public on Facebook. No, it's totally fine. I'm sure it will be safe in this space, but not a diss to us that no one's listening. But I just don't want to have what I call like a public job abortion. Not abortion, miscarriage. Sorry, that was the wrong word. Where, I would, you know, be like, hey, guys, I'm moving to Tampa. Everything's happy days. And then, turns out, whatever, it falls through. So I'm waiting for the background check. Yeah. I'm waiting for the background check and everything to go through. Not that I have a shady background, but I just want to be 100% kosher before I'm like, hey, guys, moving to Tampa. So hopefully I'll be hearing back from corporate shortly. So.
What can I tell you? When we were in Japan, I'll tell you real quick, and then I want to get into the story that you wanted to talk about. When I was living in Japan, I semi-accepted, semi-got a little bit ahead of myself on a job that was in Santa Barbara. I announced it to my wife. The guy was like, hey, would you like to work here? I took it as, hey, you've got a job, move to California. I took that,
I was just asking,
ran with it,
wanted to
told my
work
wife
here.
I got a job in Santa Barbara. We bought tickets, wrapped all our shit up, and then like 2 days before, I kept trying to get in touch with the program director, like, you know, I've accepted your semi-non-offer, so when am I coming? And he's like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work out. So I had to go and tell my wife, hey, I don't have a job, but we're still going back to California. So I completely empathized with your position in not announcing this prior to getting the job. So I didn't mean to TMZ you with my scoop.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, and it's totally fine. And it's actually, I didn't learn this lesson from somebody else who had a similar situation to yours. I learned this lesson from people who really did have miscarriages from their pregnancies. They announced it.
Well,
and then suddenly a few weeks later, you didn't really hear anything. And I saw a few, like, is everything okay? You know, and we can all assume, you know. Then there was, like, Kevin and I are, you know, regretfully inform everyone that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I learned from that situation. I'm like, okay, not gonna get ahead of myself until everything is 100% sorted. Everything is 100% kosher. That's what I like to say. I've been using that word a lot with my new employer, who is not Jewish, by the way. I hope he knows what it means.
Well, you're
is everything kosher.
If the exit from your previous job is any indication, it might not be a miscarriage. You might actually literally abort your own chances of getting this job. So keep your mouth shut.
Don't
insult anybody, even passive aggressively, under your breath. Keep it on the down low. Get to Florida, and you know, then do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just waiting a few more weeks till everything gets sorted, and then it will be announced, and then I'm going to Florida either way, so I can camp out on the front lawn. I don't give a fuck. I just got to get out of Detroit. It's devouring my soul. It's a horrible place for me. I need to get out of here. It's not healthy. So,
Let me tell you something. If Florida is the best of your two options, then I have to imagine Detroit's got to be the shittiest place on earth. Anna, what is this? What did you want to talk about today? Because you texted me. You got on one of these rolls where I couldn't even keep up. It was like 17 texts, and I was filled with all kinds
of. I'm a bit of
mental,
a rambler.
Technical mumbo jumbo. So what's up?
Right, yeah, and in my brain, obviously, it makes perfect sense. But then when I reread it and try to think of, like, a third party reading this, I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. Well, I keep a notebook of all my thoughts. It's not really like a journal. It's not like, what did I do today? It's more of just, like, either funny thoughts or creative ideas or maybe just, like, mean things. I wrote a really dark poem one day, randomly, and then the next day I was, like, you know, making fun of fat people, back to square one. But I've recently, and not just recently, but it comes and goes in waves, but I have this sort of, like, sick fascination with watching, like, pimple popping videos or, like, blackhead extraction videos, even, like, boils, anything that, like, pops, explodes, and is, like, disgusting. Huh? I will watch it.
What the fuck?
Have you ever watched these? Because they're not like normal pimple popping, like, situations. Like, these are insane. There was one that looked
like
they were
like
milking
like lancing of boils,
like,
kind of thing, like lancing boils and shit like that.
Yeah, but like nothing where it's like a surgery, like a surgical removal. It's like other people popping other people's boils.
Right.
Pimple. It's all amateur style is what I like. Like my porn. It's amateur, okay? That's how I like it. But yeah, I fucking love it. I love it. I can watch it for hours, and I'll watch the same video over and over again. And like I mentioned before, I'm like a black woman, like, yelling at the movie theater. I'm like, you're doing it wrong. Like, you gotta go from the other angle. You know, you gotta get a deeper grip. I feel like I could do a much better job than what I've been seeing. I'm not like a qualified dermatologist or esthetician, but I feel
get
like
get out the house. Don't
need,
go
I
in the house. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I've seen
I,
movies
I
with black
it.
Audiences, man. It's
exactly.
It's interactive.
And I have
it's very interactive.
I've become that person. Yes, I feel I'm a very involved audience member, and I'm yelling at like a recorded video on YouTube that was like recorded in 2008, and I'm yelling at them. because they're doing it wrong. So I don't know what it is. It's like, it makes me gag, but it's also very satisfying. I don't know. It's
what
like this weird part of my brain that's satisfied.
What makes you such an expert in the field of boil lancing, pimple popping, and other egregious malady? You're a real student of the game. You just study it a lot, and you feel like you've got a good grasp of the basics, and maybe even deeper.
Right. To me, it's obvious, and especially if you're like applying pressure in a certain way and it's not working, like chances are you probably need to adjust your grip, maybe go from a different angle, and possibly that will, you know, make something happen. And that's always what does. They're like, it's not working, and then of course they like change the grip or like squeeze a different way, and then it like all comes out at once, and it's like, and like I'll make noises, and I don't know, and I'll make other people watch it with me, and that's usually how I lose friends, or creates a stronger bond. It's going either one way or the other. So, but I don't know. Is it just me? Have you ever watched some of these videos?
No.
Do you find them to be satisfying?
No.
Right. I feel like you should give it a try. Have you even tried? Give it a try.
Okay.
I feel like you might.
Here's the deal, Anna.
Okay.
My wife is very unsqueamish about those things. So she used to, on the regular, like, get blackheads out of my skin and pinch them and do whatever. And, you know, if there was a zit, she would take care of it as well. I am completely disgusted every once in a rare while. My wife is very odd in the sense that, like, for years, I've been married to this woman for almost 11 years. We've been together for 13 years. I kid you not. Okay, she has no bodily odor. Like she never smells. She doesn't use deodorant. She doesn't have any kind of breath. Doesn't smell. She nothing south of the border. I mean, have I ever been like, what the fuck? I've never heard or smelled her fart. She's never walked out of the bathroom and I've gone, what the fuck? Like there has. I don't know what it is about my wife that just completely precludes her from emanating any kind of odor out of any pore or orifice in her body. Every once in a while, though, she will get like a zit, maybe like in a place that's not on her face, like a shoulder zit, whatever. And she's always like, hey, could you do me a favor? And I am just so gag-induced, reflexively repulsed by the whole thing.
Send her my way. I'd be happy to take care of it.
Do you,
I love
you
it.
Do it for your friends? Do you like? Do you volunteer that sort of service for your friends?
I've done it for someone else. Okay, first of all, I'm like, I don't want to say like I'm a hypochondriac, but I'm like a germaphobe. That's a better word. I'm germaphobe about a lot of things, about other touching other people. I don't like other people to even touch like my food. Like I'm pretty picky about that. But when it comes to pimple popping, all that shit, all those reservations go out the window. And one time I was at work and this girl's like, oh, I have this like really bad pimple, like it's really hurting, it's on my elbow. And I'm like, give me your fucking elbow. I'm like, let me take care of this right now. I did it right there and then, okay, and blood came out. Her blood was on my hands and I'm like, fuck, I gotta get an AIDS check. And I thought about it for weeks. I never got it. I forgot about it. But I kept asking her a few days later. I'm like, are you, like, sick or anything? She's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, I still need to get tested for AIDS, though. Even though it's typically, like, you'll be fine. I looked it up online. I'm like, you get AIDS from pimple popping. But clearly, I mean, there has to be an exchange of fluids, you know? And I'm like, did I have hangnail that day? You know, whatever. I'm sure I'm fine. But, yes, all those reservations, all of that common sense goes fucking straight out the window because I love popping pimples and shit like that so much. Yeah.
And that's the worst because honestly, of all the things like germaphobes, hypochondria, and all of those things kind of combine to, they coalesce right at the intersection of popping zits and lancing boils and all that. Like, because you're coming in contact with somebody else's bodily fluid, which is disgusting and germ, like riddled with germs. B, it's also just a rampant opportunity to contract some kind of hideous, like, jungle disease or rare form of something where you end up in some kind of medical journal. We've never seen this before. Like, medical students will come in to, like, observe you getting the thing that you got from doing this to people. And yet, for some odd reason, with all of your maladies and fears and all that, this is cool for you to do.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. And it's not even that it's cool. It's just that it's like a hiccup in the logic. You know what I mean? It's
the
like,
mind. The I'm, mind is such a weird thing, man.
It's so fucking weird.
Organ.
Because I love it. It's like I fucking love it. I love it. I love the, like, squeeze them. I love the release. especially when I know it's going to be a good one. It's like I get excited, like it's a fucking movie premiere. Like it's very exciting
for
me.
My dad is the same way though.
Like, I kind of grew up in this fucking like, oh my, like if I got a pimple, like me, my sister, and my dad, whoever had the pimple didn't matter. We would all fight over who got to pop it. That's how fucked up we were. That's how fucked up it was. Like, if I had one, I'd be like, oh, shit, I have a pimple. My dad and my sister would be like, let me get it. I'm like, no, it's mine. You know, like that. So it's weird. So that's where I'm coming from.
It's amazing that your family branch hasn't just withered and died off the tree. Like, there should have been an end to your branch of the family tree really a long time ago, considering. And I imagine this, to me, doesn't seem like it would be something that would be a complete outlier in a family situation. You know what I mean? Like, this seems like it would be
right.
a microcosm of a much bigger issue in your family.
Okay.
But you're saying
okay.
it's a complete outlier. It's like everything's normal other than the fact that every single one of the people
in my family
enjoys popping other people's heads.
But of the sample that I've collected, the very unscientific sample that I've collected of friends and family and such, a lot of people have this sort of fascination, but almost like satisfaction of either watching pimple popping or actually pimple popping, maybe even own or other people's. A lot of people are disgusted by it, like yourself, but a lot of people are like weirdly, like they're grossed out but intrigued. It's like it tickles a weird part of your brain because it's gross. It's definitely in the gross category, but it's satisfying nonetheless. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's why some people enjoy slasher films, or they like snuff films, or they like some kind of gore or just the thing that triggers,
stress.
Like you said, it triggers a release of, and I don't want to get too deep because I don't really know too much, so I'm not really going to be even able to get that deep, but it triggers that sort of endorphin / rush,
serotonin,
adrenaline, gross fear thing that, you know, people go on roller coasters, or people, you know, jump out of airplanes, or they do something
right.
that's egregiously dangerous, and maybe that's just one of those
other
things that triggers the same response.
Go skydiving, I pop pimples, other strangers' pimples, that's a... That's my thrill in life. So,
that is just absolutely fucking hideous, disgusting thing. And you know, the more I learn about you, the more I'm attracted to you. I gotta say,
attracts you to me?
The
pimple popping?
I don't know, man. Just the whole thing. The you know, the little bits and pieces that I'm able to piece together of your weird, troubled existence.
Yeah.
You told me that you were like a competitive, like, what were you, a sports dancer? Well, what else did you do?
Most people think I have no rhythm, but quite the contrary, I have lots of rhythm. My mother owned a dance studio for 25 years,
right.
So I grew up dancing in a studio, but I didn't fit in because I'm fucking weird, you know? So when you think of like cheerleaders and you think of like dance team dancers, and that sort of personality comes to mind, you know, Tiffany, Lindsay, those girls.
Amber.
Those were
Amber, totally.
Sure, yeah. Amber, yeah. All those people were people that I hung out with a lot, but never quite meshed with for reasons that are very obvious to you now. So I was dancing.
Yeah, because you're the short ethnic type. That doesn't exactly. I imagine you like kind of weirdly ethnic with maybe a little extra body hair and a lot of dad hands kind of stuff. You kind of throw.
Sorry.
So attractive.
They weren't all white. There were. We had a lot of. We had some Mexicans. We had some black people and stuff in there. So it wasn't really that. It was more of just like the personality type, the cheerleader
yeah.
personality type, which I was just obviously like way off
oh, yeah.
the charts, not at all. But I grew up with these girls, so they kind of like they knew and understood and kind of accepted me because I was kind of like the funny weird one all the time, for like 15 years. But yeah, I mean, it worked in my favor in college. All the girls, they were like the same group of girls, but obviously different because I was in college. But they fucking loved it. They thought I was weird. I would go to their parties. They'd throw parties, and it would be super far for like a drunk person to walk. So I would dress up in like a dress and everything, and I'd put on fucking running shoes, and I'd be wasted. And I would run like 2 miles to their house and party with them in a dress with running shoes. Because it took too long, and so that's just kind of like who I was, and they just kind of, you know, they let it ride, so it's cool, very cool.
Hey man, whatever, as long as you're able to stay yourself and still be friends with all the oddball, you know, people that roll through your life, good for you. But
yeah, thank you.
Damn, woman. So real quick, because we got a couple of minutes to go. We were going to talk about one more thing tonight. And you said something, and then I said something else, and then it was the other car thing. And for the life of me, I don't have my phone in front of me. I cannot remember what the hell I said we were going to talk about. What was the other thing we said we were going to do?
Oh, I had a big like fat rant, but I feel like that could wait till another day.
We need a few more minutes than that.
Yeah, we need a few more minutes, but I'll, just briefly, like I have very weird. I think they're hormonally induced irritations with people.
No.
So it usually, I hate to be graphic here, but usually when I get to a certain point in my cycle, I start to like hate on people. And it's not like I yell or I'm upset or cry. It's very internal and it's all internalized. But sometimes it's elderly people, like because they're slow, you know. So I'll be like at the grocery store and I'll just be fuming because I'm behind, you know, Gretchen. Or if it's like really morbidly overweight people, that like really upsets me. But and then as the cycle continues, I chill out a little bit. But we'll get to those irritations next time.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that because I'm going to touch on it for a second. We were in Vegas not too long ago, and we went to this buffet,
uh-huh.
which is where you can actually see the intersection of fat and old in all of its glory. And I sat there, the confluence, it's like the Three Rivers area in Pittsburgh, where these three rivers of fat and elderly, and then the fat and elderly, all kind of just come together.
Were you in Michigan, or...?
I was in Vegas.
You said
we were in Vegas.
Okay.
Kim Michigan comes to party, though, definitely. We were at some hotel, and we went to the buffet, you know, the all-you-can-eat, whatever. And
did you expect
I was fascinated.
More?
There was a guy sitting there by himself. He had to be, like, 300 pounds. And he had probably, I don't remember exactly the number, but I would say maybe three plates in front of him and
mm-hmm.
at least two sodas. And this guy was just, I mean, he was like... He wasn't even cutting open, like he got a roll. He wasn't even cutting the roll open. He was just buttering the outside of the roll and eating it that way. No, that kind of thing. He wasn't even bothering to cut it. He was just slathering butter on it and eating the whole thing.
He was alone for
and
a reason.
He was alone for a reason. I was fascinated. I was repulsed. I was repulsed and I was offended. And at the same time, I felt really bad for
exactly.
that guy. Because he was so, what's the word I'm looking for? He was so methodical about
pathetic?
The way he wasn't
going.
Oh, okay. It was sad. It was methodical. It was a slow, very. He wasn't like making a big scene about it. It was this sort of resigned. I'm a fat man. I'm at a buffet. I'm not rushing. This is just what I do. And he was just
right.
eating very slowly. He wasn't like trying to get all the food in his face and run back up to the buffet.
Right.
It was just, you know, bunch of crab legs here, and then he started on, you know, a couple of more of his holy buttered rolls, and then he took a giant
mm-hmm.
sip of his ridiculously oversized Dr. Pepper, and
right,
then he would go
right.
back to eating
diet,
Chinese food.
Diet Dr. Pepper. Let's get it right.
Probably a diet Dr. Pepper because, you know, obviously he's diabetic and he wants to make sure that he's not putting himself
okay.
in too much risk.
Overdose
but
I was, sugar, right.
I was mortified, repulsed, and completely, I felt so bad for the guy. I mean, he might have had a great life, and he might have had a hot chick waiting for him in his room, and that's just the way he foreplays. I don't know, but it was.
And
it was
it's funny because like you, right? And I have the same thought process where I see this happening. I feel like I hate on them, and then you know, in your head, you're like, well, what if their fucking mom died, and you know, when they were six, and something, you know, something
right,
tragic happened, or they have a thyroid condition, and you kind of argue with yourself, but then you're like, surely. Even someone, I mean, but that happens to lots of people. Lots of people lose their parents or shit happens and not everyone ends up like this, you know, like this is ridiculous, you know what I mean? So to me, it's like it's a form of abuse. Like you have this amazing like vehicle that you can navigate the world in and you're fucking it up and you only got one. You only got one and you're fucking it up. You know, so I understand.
Well, maybe this guy had 10 mothers die. Maybe this is just a long,
maybe it was that bad.
A long run of family members who died, and this is just the end, sort of the end of the run.
Right.
I don't know. We got about 30 seconds, so I'm going to start playing some
okay.
music. And
okay.
I want to
great
thank
music.
You once again. I did a great job today, and whoever happens
thank
to have been listening,
inviting
awesome.
Me.
Thank you. Not at all, dude. And I'm going to do this again tomorrow, and you and I, we're going to hook up at some point again real soon. So
okay.
Y'all have a great evening. The fastest 30 minutes in all of internet, the radio, cyberspace. And
right,
we'll see you guys tomorrow. All right, peace.
All right. Bye.